First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com. And while you're at the websites, make sure you join our RSS feed for the show and join our email newsletter. We'll make sure everything gets delivered directly to your inbox. For you guys that are new to the show, call-in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, as always, please make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on as soon as possible. And for anybody who wants to get involved in a live chat, just jump on in the chat room. You can do it right here at BTR, or you can do that via Facebook or Twitter. You can sign in just about any way you want to. And for you guys who are listening to this show on podcast, let me point out the show. Every show we have runs Sunday through Thursday night at 7 o'clock live right here. Same numbers as on all shows and everything else to get involved. How are you, Mr. Martin?
Exhausted.
Exhausted.
Yeah, some days you just walk around work and stuff and you just, it's a seasonal thing, but some days you just start looking around, I'm getting too old for this crap. mostly it's not the work. Mostly it's, you know, hey, we got the hottest day of the year so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not hot, not being a wuss, but, you know, when you come out of that cool spring weather, that, you know, that cool late winter weather, and you know, you're in Kentucky. You know what I'm about to say. It's like there for a while, you're going to work, it's 50 degrees, it's topping out at 60. You know, you're going to work, it's 40, it's topping out at 55. And then one Monday or Tuesday, you show up for work, and it's 80 and 85 degrees, and you're just looking around and go, what the hell?
Oh, yeah,
know?
I'll tell you.
It's like, my wife was asking, I just said, you know, it just takes a little getting used to. It's just, I came home exhausted, you know, you come home exhausted. It's like, it's okay, Al. You know, you'll adjust. But, man, after days like today, laying underneath a big diesel delivery truck trying to rebuild some framework parts and stuff, get covered in rust, and that sun was actually pretty damn hot. And I'm thinking, that's the kind of day that you look around and go, I'm getting too old for this crap. I'm doubling down on lottery tickets tonight, and that's all there is to it.
Well, there you go. And for you guys that are listening to the show right now, if you want to call in and whine because you're hot at work, please let us know, especially you Ford employees who work indoors. I tell you, man, we have so much to cover, but I want to start the show out on a somber note before we start getting into everything we usually do. As everybody knows, I am very, very critical of our current county attorney, Mike O'Connell. I don't have much respect for him and his job, but that does not mean it's personal. County Attorney Mike O'Connell lost his 33-year-old son, who was found dead. Matthew O'Connell was found dead in his car by his sister, Annie O'Connell. And Mike O'Connell has suspended any campaign activities for the time being for an undisclosed period of time. And I just want to let the O'Connell family know that, you know, on a personal note, losing your child has to be one of the hardest things you will ever face in life. So on a personal note, Mr. O'Connell, our prayers at NVM Radio are with you and your family right now. We're really sorry for your loss. I know that's got to be tough to take. But, you know, we had planned on talking about the race between him and Karen Faulkner tonight as one of the races we're going to cover. And, we're going to postpone that out of respect for Mr. O'Connell and his family. So with that said, we have all kinds of news to talk about tonight, really. We have talked about this guy a little bit on air from time to time. His name is David Whitlock. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's favorite Keystone cop in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, you betcha. Well, he was stripped of his constable powers and everything else here in Jefferson County. And, of course, he was using them illegal anyway, like using blue lights and stuff. He shot an unarmed woman in Tammy Ortiz in a wide-open Walmart parking lot that could have killed somebody, a little kid walking through there. But he's decided that since he had yet another situation that he got out of, that he feels he's qualified to run for Metro Council. This isn't the first time Whitlock has been in a diversion program. He was in a diversion program for theft and all kinds of other things earlier in this decade, and we had covered that on the show extensively. Well, Whitlock is now running against Mary Wooldridge for the in a Democratic primary for District 3 Metro Council. He tries to tell, I'm getting this information from the Courier-Journal, just trying to make it easy, but he tried to say that the constituents in the area approached him and asked him to run because they think that Mary Wooldridge has lost touch with the district and become too stale. Then he goes on to say that people know he is a micromanager, to say the least, and that when he gets in office, he'll be gung-ho. My question is, who's he going to shoot on the Metro Council when they disagree with him? You know,
aren't the people that have accidental and reckless discharges of firearms, they typically in Frankfurt, though, aren't they?
Well, you know, funny you should mention that, because Whitlock does have reckless disregard for firearms as a constable. He has an office that he was paying for out of his pocket right next to the Jefferson County Clerk's office right there on Dixie Highway, where you go and get your license plates and all of that stuff. And, you know, he was running a firearm training CCW class, and a gun went off and shot bullet through the wall. Lucky it didn't hit somebody and kill him. So, you know, you talk about reckless disregard for weapons. There's another example, you know, from the guy who thinks he can do anything. You know, it's just amazing to me. But we do have that race going on.
And the only comment I've got on that is like, well, I can see that if Mary Wooldridge is your council person, where you would want somebody different.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
I wonder that given given the tens of thousands of people in a given district, that surely to God there was somebody better than David Whitlock.
Are you there, Ed? Hello? Hello? Well, something happened here. We lost some audio somewhere. Are you there, Ed?
I'm here. Are you?
Okay.
I'm here, man.
Something happened here on the computer. I had a little power spike and everything went crazy.
Maybe you had a David Whitlock desktop kind of discharge. You shot your computer or something. Who knows?
He's probably got a little drone flying overhead thinking he's a real cop.
Did you get my parting comment where I said, you know, I understand that if Mary Wilder is your council person, it's like, but really, David Whitlock is the best replacement you could come up with in that district. Okay.
Well, that's pathetic, and I agree with you there because, you know, Mary Wilder is somebody that I wouldn't vote for. You know, but given the choices you're going to have and whoever wins this primary will be your next Metro Council person, you know, there's no Republican in the race. If you have to vote, I'd have to vote for Mary Woolridge here. And I'm not a supporter of Mary Woolridge, but I would have to vote for her in this situation. David Whitlock is an uncontrollable, out of control. I mean, he's just a nut job. I mean, this guy, you know, went out there. Yeah, there's no doubt.
He's a criminal.
There's no doubt. You know, he went into an Alford plea in 2012, which is essentially a guilty plea for all intents and purposes because, you know, an Alford plea basically says you're not admitting guilt, but they've got enough evidence to convict me. You know, I mean, you're essentially guilty at that point, you know, and that's the way it's viewed by most people, at least smart people. You know, and this guy, this isn't the first time he's been in this situation. I mean, you know, he went into diversion before, as we pointed out. You know, but he says that his big deal is he wants to address the empty houses in the district and vacant lots that taxpayers are paying to mow, which, of course, is garbage. You know, he's sitting here trying to act like somebody. But then he goes on to say there's a lot of homes that need to be torn down, yet he gives nothing there to tell you how to do this. And here's what I really laugh at. He said another focus will be boosting after-school programs, the summer work programs, to help keep youth out of trouble and earn income. Folks, let me tell you something. Go to edspringston.com, use the search engine at the top left of the page, and type in David Whitlock. And there's a nice video there of David Whitlock and his good friend Michael Stevens shooting underage Cody Whitaker with a shotgun shell. All right? And they all thought it was funny inside the home. It was a joke, and they did it thinking it was funny. This guy don't care about kids. Every person he's ever been around is polluted. So I thought it was really, really interesting. Of course, he resigned as constable because he basically had to as part of his agreement. You know, he says that there's only one side of the story, and he couldn't talk about it because of pending litigation. But he says here's the thing that really I laugh about, too. He said that, you know, instead of people worrying about that, people really worry about public corruption with their tax money. This guy got paid with our tax money, too. It wasn't a whole hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, he was making his money on the side.
That just makes you look at you want to look and tilt your head sideways and go, really?
Right.
You know, let's face it, David Whitlock is dumb. I'm going to say it straight up. He looks dumb and ugly. He's a slob.
He is.
He's a criminal. And like I said, this is one of those very rare instances. It's like, please, for the love of God, vote for Mary Wilderidge.
I agree with you. What else can you say there?
He is an absolute criminal. And personally, if I were a member of the third district, I would take that as a huge offense. You know, he's not a successful private sector person. So who in the hell is he to tell us what kids need to do after school? Who in the hell is he to come up with whether it's urban renewal, urban renovation, or job creation? He's so full of crap. I mean, I swear, if he'd sign a waiver, I'd slap the crap out of him just to be mean, because I can be that way sometimes. He deserves a good slap. He really does.
He does. He does, and he's a big wimp to boot. I mean, he really is. He's a big wimp. You know, if somebody gets in his face, he lays down and cries like a little baby, unless he's got a gun in his hand. That's just the way he is. But, I mean, this guy, it's absurd to even give him any kind of credibility at all. You know, but you're in a district where there's a lot of backlash because Mary Woolridge, you know, sided with Barbara Shanklin during all of that stuff, and Barbara Shanklin kept her job, you know. And so, I mean, that kind of stuff is a backlash. Mary Woolridge, of course, goes on record and says that she don't believe he's going to be elected.
And rightfully so. I hope Mary Woolridge takes note of that and realizes that she may actually not run away with this race over somebody as absolutely as incompetent and dense as David Whitlock. But
right.
She may not run away with it. So it's like, Mary, please, perk up. You pull another stunt like that, somebody with an actual IQ of higher than 90 is going to run against you one of these days, and they're going to beat you like a drum. So give up the good old boy protectionism and all that, and you scratch my back, I scratch your crap that goes on in Metro Council. Do your job, or the next cycle, somebody that actually has something on the ball is going to can you. So I hope it's a wake-up call.
I think you're right. Well, and I think you're right, and I hate it, but that does seem to be the way it's going to go. You know, and Mary Woolridge, of course, says, you know, she's firmly confident that she's going to be reelected. You know, says the usual stuff, says she stands beside her vote with Barbara Shanklin, all of that stuff. You know, if there was any other candidate in the race, Mary Woolridge would probably be gone. But in this particular case, I hope she gets 100% of the vote. That's how bad it is with David Whitlock. And you never hear me talk like that about many people, but this is scum personified. Moving on, one other race I want to talk about real quick, and the only reason we're talking about a couple of races now, folks, is our election is in 2 weeks in the primary. So, you know, we've got some situations where we're going to have to cover some of these. But Sherry Bryant Hamilton, she's a Democrat-elected Louisville Metro Council member right now in District 5. And, you know, she's facing a political opponent with Keith Morgan in her primary. You know, Hamilton isn't taking Morgan too lightly. I mean, she plans on raising and spending about $40,000. She's actually doing something she don't normally do. She's out knocking on doors. But it's really interesting, the contrast in these two people. Of course, we know that Sherry Bryant Hamilton was another person who stood beside Barbara Shanklin. She's also the one who went after stopping alcohol sales at 2 o'clock instead of 4 o'clock, which is really screwed up because the bars are still open and selling alcohol. You know, so now we've created all these drunk drivers. So this is really something. But Morgan, however, Morgan is 44 years old. He's talked about the fact that Hamilton has been in office for quite some time, and he's right. You know, she came there, you know, in 2003 after merger. But at the same time, you know, he talks about how, you know, the district isn't getting its fair share of Metro government money. He's right about that. I fully believe that. And he worked for the past 3 years at TARC as a custodian. Now, see, here's the contrast, because people are going to see Morgan as a guy who worked at TARC as a custodian, as a janitor, if you will, and they're probably not going to take him too seriously. But he spent 13 years prior to this as a member of the government, with Metro government. He was supervisor in the Metro Department of Public Works Solid Waste Division. However, he was terminated in March of 2011 for violating the personnel policy in regard to substance abuse. Now, we don't get a lot of details on that, but Morgan said it was basically one unfortunate experience, and it forever altered his life. So, you know, is this a good candidate against Sherry Bryant Hamilton?
You know, I'm going to say, I go back to Larry Houseman a few years ago in the Republican primary for Congress. It's an unfortunate incident. Obviously, you lost your job. You know me. It depends if we're talking victimless crimes. If we're talking substance abuse, you know, you want to be our representative. You want to get your hands on that discretionary fund. You know, whether you do or not, you're going to. You want the authority to tax people and write laws and ordinances. Look, I'm actually willing to look the other way if it wasn't something just really off the charts and epically stupid, like, hey, I just decided to smoke some meth. You know, it's not that. If it's substance abuse, it's like, okay, so maybe he tested positive for THC after, you know, it happens. Whatever. I would like to hear him come. If you want that authority over us, then share a bit of information with it. I agree. I obviously, yes, you're being truthful. It was a mistake. It's unfortunate. Give us a little more detail. What happened? You know, we can be forgiving, but you got to be forthcoming. So if he comes clean with that and says, "Hey, look, I lost my job over, you know, peeing positive on a little THC because somebody passed me a joint," you know, blah blah blah. I would actually improve. I might send him some money to run against it, because at that point,
right,
now I'm thinking, okay, now we hear a guy who realizes at least to some degree how these laws and these prohibitions and the mindset against what many call victimless crimes can wreck a person's life. And, you know, I think we need to ease up off of that a little bit. So if that's what it is, I'd love to hear it. And, you know, come clean with us. You owe us that, if that's what, you know, that's how it goes.
Right.
And I think the public would be forgiving. I think they would appreciate the honesty.
Well, I've got news for you, and I agree with you there. I don't think this is an issue. The Courier-Journal made sure they pointed it out when they were handicapping this race. I don't see it as an issue. You know, I have admitted many, many times on air, back when I was a younger man, you know, I inhaled, and I inhaled quite frequently and enjoyed every minute of it. But at some point, you know, you got to realize that that's detrimental to your life and you change your life. You know, and I did that as a very young man. I was avid about marijuana. You know, it wasn't anything out of the norm for people for me, you know, for my age. And when I look at this with Morgan, I also have to point out the obvious. You know, the Department of Parks and Recreation director, was caught drinking and driving, leaving a bar and getting in his vehicle on videotape by WLKY News, and still kept his job.
Yeah.
They didn't do one damn thing
to
him, but they fired the employee, but they fired the whistleblower to turn him in.
Yeah,
you know,
that's substance abuse, and it's criminal, and it puts the city a huge liability. But hell, look who we're talking about. We're talking about Mary Wooldridge, who basically says, yes, Barbara Shanklin, you violated ethics. You know, you stole from the taxpayers. Barbara, she's okay with that now, aren't we? So,
sure.
I mean, if I'm gonna sit here and draw lines in the sand, Mary, you know, these other Sherry Brown Hamilton, obviously not too concerned about theft, but if she wants to make an issue about a guy maybe messing up, you know, peeing dirty one time, yet she doesn't deem it to be worthy of penalty to actually steal from the taxpayers and to effectively commit felonies and possibly go run amok if she's benefiting, you know,
right,
everything that Barbara Shanklin did. Sherry Brown Hamilton apparently didn't have a problem with that. Now, did she? So now I'm hearing,
right,
now I'm thinking, okay, well, she doesn't have a problem with Barbara Shanklin stealing. She sure as hell wouldn't have a problem with herself stealing, would she now?
Well, that's
so who's
exactly it.
And who's not?
There you go. There you go. And that's exactly it. So, I mean, I've got absolutely no problem. I truthfully, I mean, from everything that I've talked to other people about Morgan and other things like that, and quite frankly, you know, we need a change there. Morgan, to me, would be a good fit. And when you bring in the fact that, you know, he spent 13 years in the Metro Department of Public Works and was a supervisor when this happened, you know, it was like the Department of Parks and Recreation supervisor driving around drunk and getting caught, no big deal. This guy wants to focus on sewer and water lines and upgrading and things like that in the district. And quite honestly, I kind of like the fact that that 13-year experience is going to help with the Metro Council understanding what the hell MSD is doing to this town, because MSD will be responsible for that. So I'm looking forward to that race.
I want to say one other thing about this,
sure,
guy is obviously if you're a member of Metro government, you can hook up with a big attorney, and you know, I don't know if he's a member of unions or not or whatever, but a lot of times people fight these things, and they can fight them successfully if, you know, if it's not like a second or third offense. Sounds to me like he peed dirty or something and accepted responsibility for what he did.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if he peed dirty, if he snorted a line, or what he did. But one mistake like that, I mean, let's face it, we could elect.
But he accepted responsibility for what he did, And, you know, without going back, we don't know if he hired up some attorney or something to, you know, fight it to the end. But it sounds to me like he accepted responsibility for his mistakes.
Exactly.
Which,
exactly.
Wow, how refreshing would that be in Metro government?
No, exactly. And I tell you, you know, just real quick before we move on, but, you know, I mean, let's face facts here. Bill Clinton inhaled and lied about it. He probably smoked a cigar used on Monica Lewinsky as well, lied about it. You know, and we elected him and kept him as president, didn't care. You look at Barack Obama. Barack Obama openly admits using cocaine and other illegal substances, and we elected him president. So why this guy should be held to some kind of a standard based on one thing he did a few years ago is beyond me, because we can elect the most powerful person in the world and a president who's a cocaine user, and we can't talk about this guy. That's just ridiculous to me. A couple of quick things here, and then we're going to move on to some serious stories like the Jack Conway thing I know you're waiting to get into. according to the Courier-Journal, April 21st registration deadline passed. There are some updated totals here, and I thought they were pretty interesting, and here's why. There's a total of 537,000-plus people registered right here in Jefferson County to vote. In the general election in November 2012, there was only 511,000-plus. So that's a big upswing. There were no records kept in 2013 because there were no elections. So in 2 years, the number of registered voters has grown, you know, 8%. Holzclaw talked about Thursday, she was interviewed, and she was talking about how everybody had been working hard to increase the voter rolls. And because of that, they've had a lot of new voters going to neighborhood festivals and picnics trying to get people to sign up to vote. You know, and so it seems to be a pretty thing. But here's the thing. Democratic registration out of that total is 311,709. They're up about 12,500 since 2012. Republican registration is up to about 176,000. So we can clearly see that the Republican registration in this town is about 35% of what the other one is, or a little bit more than 50%, I should say. But that's up about 9,000. So Democrats now make up 53.86% of Kentucky voters, 38.52% of Republicans, and 7.62% overall are classified as others throughout the state. So I thought that was interesting. I wanted to make sure everybody pointed that out. For you guys who are getting involved and getting registered and wanting to go vote, thank you, because that's what it's all about. It's the first step to us taking back our America and, indeed, our Louisville at this time. Go ahead, Ed.
Well, I was just going to say, anytime people register to vote, we can always hope that they go out and vote. So, by all means, do it. You know, unfortunately, in Kentucky, if you're registered other, you can only vote in judicial races this time. But, you know, whether it's take back, as in take back Kentucky or whatever, and it could be, you know, this new voter registration could go in a direction that you and I and others really don't want to see it go in. But in the end, the higher the voter registration, the higher the voter turnout, the more representative government is. So, you know, win, lose, or otherwise, it's, you know, good turnout is more representative. So, yeah, like I say, if you win, great. If you lose, you know, and the voter turnout's respectable, deal with it. That's what the majority goes for. But,
exactly,
you know, for
it.
God's sake, I just hope we don't see these polarized primaries where 7% of the Republican base and, you know, and 9% of the Democrat base goes out and selects the candidates, and then, you know, we end up with something that we kind of look at a la John McCain and say, how in the hell did they get that nomination? You know, but you're stuck with it. After primary day, whatever happens, you're stuck with it, so you might want to get out and vote in the primary.
Well, there you go. So I'm hoping that that's good news for the primary. However, I'm not really hopeful of that, because I tell you, you know, our primaries typically have a low turnout, and I honestly believe that this primary is going to be one of the lowest. So we're going to find out if I'm right or wrong, and I can't wait. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick bottom of the hour break. For you guys listening, 858-683-1326. Or 502-805-0334. And if you're in a listening queue, hit that number one and we'll get you on. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at ErniesPrintShop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. ErniesPrintShop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We are back here at the Ed Springer Show on the MVM Radio Network. I tell you, there's always so much going on. We go a lot of directions. One story I'm really going to point out real quick just to put out there, but if everybody remembers David Kam, David Kam was a former officer who was accused of killing his wife Kimberly and his two children in his garage while he was playing basketball with a group of guys down the road. All of the people vouch for David that he never left this gymnasium, everything else. Guy by the name of Charles Bonet finally admitted to being there and all of that. But David Kam was convicted twice by the state of Indiana based on what a lot of people believe were lies and dishonesty from the prosecutor. And so finally, third time's a charm, he was finally absolved, found innocent the last time they did a retrial. Two retrials. He was finally acquitted last year and out of jail and trying to get his life back. Well, his attorney announced last week that they will be filing a tort claim against Floyd County, Indiana, and state defendants, and they are looking at a lawsuit worth up to about $30 million. Do you think he deserves that, Ed?
Well, I mean, the dollar amount, it's how can you put a price on being accused of murdering your family, 13 years of your life in prison, you know, and you're a former cop, and at least a temporarily convicted child killer. How do you put a price on that? And then, you know, throw into it that some of the prosecutorial misconduct, Keith Anderson, accused him of molesting his own daughter, you know, which was totally off limits, and that's one of the reasons they got thrown out, you know. You said he got the retrial. See, not only did he get a retrial, but he got a retrial from the higher courts in Indiana that looked at the prosecutorial conduct and said, no, this shouldn't have been admitted. This was done wrong. So, yeah, I mean, 13 years of your life being accused of horrendous acts, up to and including murder and molestation of your child, and it's done so with basically what the courts have said, the higher courts have said, it's done unfairly, unethically, and illegally. So,
well, that's exactly it.
Does he get to sue somebody? You bet. And we talked about that when he finally got exonerated. He said, wow, this is going to sting. This is going to hurt because he damn right he's coming at him. Yeah, $30 million. I don't know. Like I said, wouldn't be enough for me if I was accused of what he was accused of, didn't do it, and then had to give up 13 years of my life with everybody, you know, and being vilified by at least, you know, a portion of your of the community, the surrounding community, for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know,
right.
Your name is synonymous with that. Oh, yeah. $30 million would just start. You know, I would just tell the I'd tell my attorney pick a number that breaks them. Piss on them.
Well, that's it. Well, that's it. I mean, you know, David Cam. I mean, you know, we talked earlier about how hard it is to lose your own child. You know, but he not only lost his wife, he lost both of his children and was accused of sexually molesting one of them, erroneously accused. You know, Charles Bonet was found guilty in 2006 of the murders. Charles Bonet was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. You know, they had the right guy in jail, but they tried to make Cam stay there anyway because the prosecutors did not want to look bad because they screwed up. So they had to keep David Cam in jail for their own political future.
Yeah, and when you stop and think about it, the first conviction, the prosecution didn't even bring Bonet into the equation. They were so eager to get David Cam that a guy who later admitted to doing it and was circumstantially and evidentially linked to it outright, you know, his shirt and everything, he admitted being there after the fact. The prosecution, the first go-round, didn't even get close to this guy. He was going to walk, you know, so it's like, even if Cam did do it, it's like, all right, well, you totally dropped the ball when you let this guy, you know, you ended it at Cam because you had you were so excited about getting him that obviously the first trial was just a complete waste of taxpayer money. The second trial, based on what Keith Henderson did, is a complete waste of taxpayer money and obviously a malicious attempt at ruining David Cam, even though they had a guy who admitted to being there and, you know, doing it maybe. And,
well, they also had bloodstains from the guy and everything else. So, you know, that was the thing. And I tell you, you know, when all this first started and all the evidence they were putting out against Cam, I've got to admit, you know, I was one of those people who thought that Cam was probably guilty. But as time went on, I realized that wasn't the case. So, you know, he lost 13 years of his life in a prison cell, lost his whole family, lost any chance at any kind of happiness in his future life, even out of prison, because he's labeled. There's no way to get around the labels. I don't care who you are. So, yeah, I hope that Floyd County has to cough up every dime they can possibly come up with to this guy because he deserves it. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, we're going to move on to a couple other things. I've been waiting to get to this story because I know you want it, and I like to tease you a little bit. Attorney General Jack Conway, that's a capital C-O-N, folks, made it official today. Sent out an online video. I've got a copy of it telling the whole world that he's running for governor in 2015. This is a weird selection for me, and this selection is only for two reasons, in my opinion. One, to appeal to the woman voter, and two, to appeal to somebody outside of Louisville. But Conway selected State Representative Sani Overly of Paris. She is the House Democratic Caucus chairwoman as his running mate. Tried to say he's going to focus on education and jobs, and I find that laughable. He says that he believes in Kentucky and our people, believes that we can build a future of opportunity we can all be proud of. For that reason, I'm announcing I'm a candidate for governor, and it's a job I'm prepared to do. Well, I don't know what he means about a future of opportunity we can all be proud of, because he has been the central figure in covering up for what I believe to be illegal behavior by the likes of Jim King, his right-hand man, former Commonwealth Attorney Dave Stengel, trying to cover up for his brother when he got caught, you know, with drugs. He was tipped off about it and got 3 days so Matt Conway could clean up his apartment or whatever he was doing. And this is a guy talking about a future we can be proud of. That's concerning to me. How about you?
Well, I mean, he was for it before he was against it, which was the administration settlement on mortgage fraud, which we used to be in too hard and heavy. His investments, I mean, he'd done well on his investments. But, again, for me, oftentimes the biggest thing is I have to look at these professional politicians. And Jack Conway is probably the shining example of a career politician. Daddy's rich, and Jackie has been groomed to never, you know, I don't know if they say you're going to, son, someday you're going to be governor, or if they say, son, I don't think you'll ever have to work in the private sector. I mean, we've got a guy that has never, to my knowledge, held any of any meaning, held a private sector job. He's going to create jobs. Okay.
That's exactly it.
And on top of that, one of the big issues that some of the candidates we happen to be friendly with is the pension. I mean, there's been, Evelyn has tiptoed around it, Crit tiptoed around it, Jack has tiptoed around it. I mean, we're sitting on a time bomb of a pension. You want to create jobs in Kentucky? Get the state's fiscal house in order, because any major employers, first thing they're going to look at is like, oh, pension is how far underfunded? Oh, yeah, well, that what they hear there is taxes. You're going to be taxing that's out the wazoo once that thing hits the wall, you know, and it becomes insolvent. So, you know, Jack, he's ineffective as an attorney general. And I've said before, sometimes I actually would appreciate an ineffective executive branch, because that way the House and the Senate can duke it out. And, you know, Beshear, whether you love him or hate him, he's pretty effective. You know, on some issues, he's pretty damn go-getter. I can't see Jack being that. So a kind of rubber camp, wet noodle kind of governor, if he were to win. I'm not entirely opposed to that.
Well, you know, and that's it. I mean, he is a wishy-washy guy. He has no backbone, in my opinion, whatsoever. He's part of the good old boy network. Has no problem using protectionism, you know, to help fellow Democrats, but will do everything he can in his power to destroy somebody because they happen to be a Republican. The only issue he's even tried to act like he gives one care about is gas prices, and quite frankly, he's failed at that. So, you know, this guy has never gotten his hands dirty. Right, this guy has never gotten his hands dirty. And I tell you, Joe Bergen, who's the spokesman for Republican Hal Heiner, who was first to announce for the race, I think he really put it best. He said, we need a governor with real-world business experience, not a Frankfurt insider, to put Kentucky first by attracting good-paying jobs for Kentucky families. And he's absolutely right. Hal Heiner is a known businessman who's created thousands of jobs. You know, this is a guy who knows business, what it takes to bring jobs to Kentucky, because that's how he's made his living his whole life. You know, Jack Conway is a silver spoon-fed guy from his daddy who's never worked a day in his life. Now, he's going to talk about being a lawyer. Well, I was with this prestigious firm. No, you were a political candidate put in a firm on ice until they could find somewhere for you to go. And then, you know, if I was writing the commercials, I could write them now. I really could. It's that easy to take Jack Conway out of the equation. I'm really looking forward to Adam Edlin, though, Ed. You mentioned Edlin's name. I think Adam Edlin is going to jump in the race soon. And I'm really curious to see if he tries to tackle the pensions, because, you know, he has been avoiding it, like you pointed out. I'm curious to see if he tries to make that his issue to combat the garbage that's coming out of Jack Conway's mouth.
Yeah. Well, I think Edlin would do well. I think at some point Edlin would do well to do that, because sooner or later the Ponzi scheme, which is Kentucky's pension, is one of the worst. Ponzi scheme's going to collapse. And if I were a candidate, I would make damn sure that everybody that was voting, you know, for me or against me, either way, I'd make damn sure they knew that, hey, I'm not the one that did this. Okay? I would make sure that everyone's in a position to do that. To point fingers and name names and tell everybody just how bad it really is, because only if you were to get the Democrat nomination and then get the governorship and then pension implode, you can say, well, remember, I told you it wasn't me.
Well, that's
so
true.
I think Edlin could definitely put up a really strong race. I would, if I was going to pick it, I would love to see him beat Jack Conway, because he's been more effective in his, you know, slightly over half a term as the auditor than Jack has been at two terms as the attorney general.
Well, that's it. You know, and any other office he's run for, he's got his butt handed to him. Now, he ran against Ann Northup, at one time. He lost by 3 points, which is the closest race, you know, the closest national race he's had. But, you know, he ran against Ann Northup one time and lost by 3 points. But there was a heavy money spent on that. And Ann Northup was never popular. They just needed a Democrat that could beat her because primarily, you know, she was getting elected by the Democrats. You know, so the Democrats finally jumped on board the Democrat ship.
Yeah, so like you were saying earlier, he got beat by a Republican in a congressional district that was heavily Democrat.
Well, that's it. And, of course, when we talk about that, we're talking about Rand Paul. Rand Paul crushed him easily, made him look like the fool he is. And, you know, and that was great. Remember Aqua Buddha? I mean, that was stunning to me that this clown would go out there and try to use Aqua Buddha the way that he did and thought it was some kind of an issue. You know, it was the worst campaign I've ever seen, but I would expect no less from what I believe to be one of the worst attorney generals Kentucky's ever seen. He likes to portray himself as not vain or egotistical or anything, but I tell you, I disagree with that because he says that he thinks there's a good chance to win. In January, in the Herald Leader, they had put a story out, and he said, "I realize that one of the silver linings of having $30 million spent against you in a short political career is that everybody knows your name." So that, of course, is alluding to Ann Northup and Rand Paul, or Rand Paul spending money against him. You know, but he's like, you know, name ID is really, really important. I'm in a strong position because somebody spent $30 million against him and put him on a pay. That's like Mitch McConnell and Matt Bevin. Me, we'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, Mitch McConnell gave Matt Bevin all the name recognition he can handle, and Bevin, you know, blew the pooch. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, you know, this guy is an arrogant toe rag, as far as I'm concerned, part of the political establishment. He's never done anything meaningful in his life.
Your claim to fame is everybody knows you because everybody watched you get the snot beat out of you every time you reach for a higher office. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. That's it. You know, it reminds me of Cliff at Cheers, on the old show Cheers, that half-hour comedy they had. Or not Cliff, I'm sorry, but Norm, you know. Norm would walk in the door and all these drunks would yell the name, "Norm!" You know, and then he'd just sit there at the bar all day drinking because he didn't have any substance to do anything else. That's Jack Conway. Everybody might know
everybody
your name.
Knew,
don't clown
everybody knew your name,
yeah, they know your name, but what do they really think of you? And I hope the good people of Kentucky realize that this guy is just one of the worst choices we could have. I'm curious to see Adam Edlin in this race on the Democratic side, though. I can't wait until he announces to see what he's going to use as his platform. And like I said, this Sandy Overly, the House Democratic Caucus chairwoman, this is nothing more than trying to appease. He don't care about women at all. If he cared about women at all, he would have been able to do something, you know, with the ethics and everything else that's been going on in Frankfurt and try to lead the way as attorney general to give these guys better advice. You know, we just had that scandal. So I don't believe in Jack Conway, and I think he's a waste of space. I do want
to
talk
about
one story.
But he has to do it. He has to do it because he doesn't get to run for general again. So that's where he's at.
Well, they spent all this money grooming him that if he fails to follow through right now, something's going to happen to him or his family. I'm telling you the truth there. That's just the way it is. You can believe what you want to believe. Call me a conspiracy theorist. But Jack Conway knows he's not a good person to be in office. He would like nothing better than to slowly fade from the limelight. I really believe that. But, you know, he's obligated because of all the money that's been spent on his family and invested in him through the years. Story out of Courier-Journal. They're trying to talk about the Matt Bevin, Mitch McConnell race. This came out. You know, this is interesting as well. This came out on Saturday, I believe it was. They're trying to talk about Matt Bevin. They're doing the comparisons like they did before. And, you know, they're talking about how his odds are real long. But there is some interesting information in this. According to the Courier-Journal article, public polls are showing Matt Bevin trailing Mitch McConnell by double digits. They're using the most recent poll by somebody named Gravis Marketing, which was done in mid-April. They found him behind by 17 points, which is a lot closer than I thought he was just a few weeks ago. But, you know, here's the thing. At the very beginning of this, Matt Bevin had the golden opportunity. Everybody thought he had a chance to bring down McConnell. But we have to really look at this. The Tea Party hasn't done very well in Senate races this year. Insurgents aren't doing very well, so the Tea Party's worth with somebody like Matt Bevin has dropped. You know, Matt Bevin's net worth, according to the Courier Journal article, is between $13.4 and $54 million. Of course, he's required to file that with the U.S. Senate Ethics Committee. But he spends all his time talking about how he grew up poor in New Hampshire and talks about how he went from rags to riches based on hard work. And that's not exactly true either. Him and at least two of his brothers went to Gold Academy in Bethel, Maine. Gold Academy is an upscale boarding school with 240 students. The average class size there is about 10 to 12 students. So here's a guy who went to an upscale boarding school, which isn't cheap, folks, but he was brought up dirt poor, rags to riches story. What do you think about all of that?
Well, without, you know, knowing exactly how he's brought up, yeah, it sounds like he might have been poor for a little while, but not for very long. You know, and sometimes parents are, they'll live below their means in order to give their kids every opportunity, which, you know, I like to say my parents did too, right? Mm-hmm. Some people would look at me and say, oh, you went to Trinity High School. I said, yeah, back when it was $1,000.
Right.
And my mom went to work, went back to work as a nurse in order to be able to afford that whopping $1,000 bill. But, you know, I'm not going to judge that. Parents make that kind of sacrifice all the time. But, yeah, his net worth now is substantial. For me, the biggest problem I have with Bevin is where he got his money. And it, a la Ron Paul, he made his money in the stock markets, which, the best friend the stock market ever had was the central banking and the low interest in the bailouts, you know. And you're making pretty serious bank in an absolutely subsidized and protected industry. I don't know, man, because...
Maybe it shouldn't.
But that bothers me when somebody makes their money in large part due to a manipulative federal government fiscal policy, and then you say you're a conservative. It's like, that bothers me.
Well, I tell you, I'm glad you mentioned his mom and a parent's sacrifice. Because when I first looked at this article and I started researching the content of it to make sure it was accurate, because I always do that with Courier Journal article, because they always, they never give credit to anybody, and you can't really believe everything they write. But so I'm checking on all of this, and one of the things in the article that stood out to me was, how he was talking about how poor he was, but he went to this show. So I'm thinking, like you, the parents sacrificed to make him do that. So I didn't see that as a big deal either. But then I saw this paragraph. Bevin said his mother, Louise, worked two weekends a month in the admissions department at a hospital in nearby Berlin, New Hampshire. So that's part-time money to pay for school, presumably, right? But here's the other part that goes with that. It also says that Carpenter said she also was an elected town auditor, something that Bevin didn't know and said must have happened after he moved away. Now, even if he had moved away, let's say his mom was elected town auditor last year. How could you not know that your mom is an elected official if you're somebody who's paying any attention to politics whatsoever? Your own mother gets elected and you don't know it? She didn't let you know that she was going to be running for office or anything like that? So that tells me there's a huge disconnect between Bevin and his family, or Bevin is flat out lying about the way he was raised. There's no other way to do it. According to Hunter Bates, a former McConnell aide, he said that there was a mutual friend of Bevin's and his that told him that Bevin was a potential self-funder who was looking to run a race and asked for Bates' help in introducing him around. So Bates set up meetings in Washington for Matt Bevin, including one with Mitch McConnell. This was back in 2011. The meeting lasted anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes. Matt did all the talking, This was not a recruitment. It was just a courtesy visit because I was asked to. But in 2011, Matt Bevin was telling Mitch McConnell he wanted to run because the partisan divide was tearing apart the fabric of the nation. He was concerned that people in Washington couldn't make deals or get anything done because of partisanship, and as a businessman, he didn't like it. Yet here we go. Now Matt Bevin today, just a couple of years later, is attacking McConnell as too liberal because he actually worked with Democrats to increase the debt ceiling. It's a decision I disagreed with, But, you know, he did reach across the aisle and work with him, so it's a bipartisan thing. How can you sit here and go to Mitch McConnell and tell him you want to run for some office somewhere because you don't think anybody is bipartisan anymore, and then attack the guy for being bipartisan?
Yeah.
There's so many contradictions.
And then when you're telling people you want solutions, this, that, and the other, and then all your campaign ads that are about I will fight to end pretty much everything the other guys are doing.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah.
No, and that's exactly it. So, you know, Bevin is there are so many contradictions to this guy that really defies logic to me. I just don't think that the Tea Party had anybody else, or the Tea Party just didn't do proper vetting in this case. And it concerns me a great deal that this guy is getting any kind of credibility at all. But if he would have done what he should have been doing from the very beginning, these wouldn't be questions now. And he's created this atmosphere and this negativity by the way he's campaigned. And I just find it disturbing, that's all. You know, we are running out of time, Ed, so guess what? It's that time of night.
Wow.
Final thoughts, my friend.
Oh, final thoughts. You know, it's namely it has to do with Jack Conway. And like I say, we've got, you know, people, it doesn't matter. I mean, you look at the contradictions in politics to me. And right now we've got Alison Lundgren Grimes and the Democrats saying Mitch has been in, you know, for 30 years. That's too long. You know, so I always enjoy the irony when on one hand we have the Democrats in the state are working themselves up into a frenzy because we have a career politician on the right, and he's been there 30 years. But then your golden boy, or sometimes your brown-haired boy, I don't know, whatever hair color Jack's going with this year. But, you know, he's a career politician. He's always had some lapdog job. He's been, you know, picked to run for this race or that race. Got shellacked most of the times. But he's a career politician, no real-world experience. So on one hand, you have the Democrats saying, you know, these career politicians, Mitch, has been there too long. Yet on the other hand, they're like, oh, all right, yeah, Jack's running. Good, you know. Really? So what's it going to be? Are we for or are we against career politicians? Because Jack is every bit the career politician Mitch will ever be.
I totally agree with you. You know, you can't have it both ways, and that seems to be the biggest problem with today's elected leaders and with those seeking to replace them. Even new candidates now, you know, Matt Bevin showed a lot of promise real super early. He had a great pedigree, but he screwed the pooch. I mean, you know, we've got to find people who are true to their values and their ethics, who don't change who they are just to get elected. We want to see real individuals run for office. We want to see real people hold office. We want to have an opportunity to elect people who have the strength of conviction and the courage to follow through with that. And we just don't see it in those that are elected and those who want to be. And that's why a lot of people are still wannabes. They're so busy trying to play the game that they're not realizing that this isn't a game to be played. This is life. This is going to affect real people. So get back to your values, your morals, your integrity, your ethics, and your moral compass and realize that, then maybe we the people will have better candidates to choose from. You know, that's going to be about it for tonight. One more quick thing, though. Mike O'Connell, we're not friendly. We never will be. I don't like you or your politics on a professional level. But on a personal level, once again, our express sympathies from the MVM Radio Network for the loss of your son and you know, we regret that so much. It's got to be such a hard road. So our prayers are you and your family. That's it for tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Dale, the truth should be here. And as for Ed Martin, I guess we'll see you next week.
All right, sir.
All right, brother. Folks, have a great night. Thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Bye.